So many of you guys might be aware of a TV show called The Daily Show. Have you guys heard of The Daily Show before? And it's been on for decades and decades, and I'm old enough to remember each and every one of those decades. And started out as just like this goofy little silly show, and then a guy by the name of Jon Stewart stepped in and took over the program, and he turned it into something that was pretty incredible. And really pushed the conversation of a lot of things within our culture. Not saying I agreed with everything that he had to present. He comes from a different standpoint than I do on many issues, but it was smart and it was engaging, and it did really, really well. Got a lot of Emmys, got a lot of different things like that. I love seeing you. How you doing, Autumn? And then he retired, and the show went from being smart, in my opinion, to just kind of being snarky. And I think a lot of people had that opinion because generally the ratings like bombed pretty bad. And so after a couple of years, they finally talked him into coming back. And so his first night back as host, they did the title and they did the theme song, and it came to him sitting at the desk. And his first line was, "Now where was I?" And I thought that was a funny line, like after a couple of years. To do that. And I thought about starting today's message with that, and then I realized two things. One, I'm not that cool, and I don't know if people would have got it. I think it would have been like me saying that, "Where was I?" and half the people going, "Is he having a stroke? Is he okay?" But then on the other side, it also kind of makes it seem like the last 2 years didn't happen, didn't matter. And that's not the impression I want to give, because the last 10 weeks have been incredible and do matter. And so what today is, as most of you know, I'm coming back from a sabbatical, a 10-week sabbatical. Well, 8-week sabbatical that I knew didn't have enough time to do everything I was planned for, so I added 2 weeks vacation to it. But nonetheless, I've been gone for 10 weeks. And coming back and sharing with you the things that I think that matters. So I guess I'll just start out by saying, hey, how you guys doing? It's good to see you guys. It's been a long time. You know how I feel about Christian community. I've been out of Christian community for 2.5 months. That's rough on me. So I'm thrilled to be back with my home family and to be able to share with you some of the things that God's doing. And I think it's going to be leading us. Now, there's no way that I'm going to be able to encapsulate the last 10 weeks and the amount of time that we have. I think no things will be unwrapped and talked about in private conversations and from up here for time to come. But I would do my best to kind of give you a feel for where things were and where things are headed. Sound good? Yes. Everybody's in?
Yes.
All right. So let me start with this. And I shared this with you before I left, but I'll give you just the general understanding of what my sabbatical was from my viewpoint, and only my viewpoint at this point, that during this time of rest, family, refocus, diving deeper in scripturally for myself, for my family, for the church. It was laid out in a very purposeful way. A lot of that was God really knowing what he was doing, and some of that was me trying to pick up on those details and plan around it. So the first week was off-ramp, is what I call it. Off-ramp means with all the planning and all things put in place and different people being over different things at the church, during my absence, there's always going to be some residue that first week that people are like, "Oh, well, wait, what about this or what about that?" So there's some off-ramping on planning, but there's really kind of an off-ramping just me allowing myself to unplug. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a pastor here in town who started his sabbatical that I've been begging him to take for the last 2 years. Today is his day, he's starting his. He was sharing with me a dinner the other night about being on a vacation for 2 weeks, not a sabbatical, but vacation for 2 weeks. And that he remembered that on the 8th day, he literally remembers his shoulders doing this. That there's something inside him finally released. And that's really what kind of the off-ramp week is just getting the release. And so that does take some time, but then it mostly moved into the focus of family time, those that really take and sacrifice the most for my ministry, for the things that I'm doing. So I wanted unplugged in time with my family, and I wanted it to be purposeful. So the first week was me and Em. down in Florida, and she had a conference, and we spent that week together. I did get to see my son and my grandkids, but it really was focused on Emily time. Then she flew home on Thursday, and Jenny flew down with Viv, the little stowaway. She's not even listening, so it doesn't matter. I can say whatever I want about her. Hi, baby.
She's in parentheses.
She's in parentheses? You're lucky you're not in lowercase. I'm just kidding. But that week, our third week, really a little over a week, was about time with Jenny and time with Viv, one of our spiritual adopted daughters, and got to have focused time with them. They flew back home. I drove back to Florida and had about a week and a half with Ryan and the grandbabies, all very focused family time. Now, during this time, was still Bible study. Was digging into certain things that God has laid on my heart, but it wasn't quite as in-depth as what you're about to hear about. You'll see Angie on there. Most of you guys know Angie is my ex-wife, my son's mom. She is rebuilding her life over the last couple of years in Florida, outside of Ohio, and she's very much a part of our family and our extended family. And she does not get to come home to Ohio very often and had not seen her family up here for 2 years, her parents or her sister. She's very family-oriented like we are. And she could not fly from her vantage point because she had to bring her dog. She was a pretty good dog. And she struggles with driving. She hates highways and freeways. They really freak her out really bad. So after talking to Jenny and after talking to the elders, decided that we were going to drive Angie home so she could have a couple of weeks with her family. So I got 3 days with Angie, again, extended family. We got to talk about Jesus quite a bit, as well as many other things, and God really blessed that time. After that, it became more the home time. That's kind of the first month. Home time, I was kind of back and forth. You see, we spent a week at the Billy Graham Training Center, Jenny and I did. That was kicking off a couple of weeks of deeper Bible study for me and my family, and what God is doing in this next season. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the beard continues to be white, and I'm in a season where it's like, okay, so what's that next season look like? So really spent a lot of time in that. I'd already been going through experiencing God on a study of a few things. You guys saw that. We're going to talk about that more. I've been going through that myself. And then also, I shared on Facebook, journaling Bible study. And I encourage you, if you kind of feel like you're dry on your Bible reading or that you have a problem with Bible reading, try that method where you just have a journal, you read a chapter, write down everything that stands out to you, and then at the end of it, write the word adjust. And after the word adjust, this is what I need to do to be able to be in line with God's word. And then just go back once a week, once every couple of weeks, and dig through and see the trends of what Jesus is saying through his word, and because he speaks. He's willing to speak if we're willing to listen. And so that was our first couple of weeks there. And then I didn't put it on there, but the going up to Mohican started out the aspect of going into deeper Bible study search for the church as a whole, which has been the last 3 weeks or so, as well as on-ramping. It's just the opposite off, just getting ready to come back. You don't really see it, but I've been back for about a week and a half. And just not saying a lot about it, but getting things ready to be able to kick off into today. And JT has a point. It sounds like maybe it's an audio.
The microphone is like scratching your beard.
Anybody got a razor? Well, I'm back at playing. I almost forgot I needed a microphone. And I was back there, and I'm like, Brent was kind enough to go get it for me. And then, like, I forgot that about 12 different people have had this thing. And so I played with it some. Is that better? Okay. All right. Everybody happy? I saw Michael and JT like powwowing, so I knew something was afoot. Something was going on. John Stewart doesn't have to deal with this stuff on the Daily Show. Getting to that study, and there's definitely some trends that I'm going to be sharing with you guys that I think that God has for us as a church here in a moment. In fact, I need to find that because I'm going to jump around a little bit, I think. South Africa's still up there. There's got a line through it because I think most of you guys know I threw my back out at the end of the week with Jenny and Viv, going to my week with my son. Spent about 7 days laid out, did 7 chiro appointments in 1 week. To get back up and running, and when that happens, it takes a while for my back to get strong again. There's no way I'm getting on a plane to South Africa and back, and the accommodations there, and there's no real hospital there, there's no doctors there, there's no chiropractor, so I knew that that would be a bad idea. So we took, I canceled that. We both got the finances back to our missions for, as a church. We first tried to give Katie another $1,000 to her tour mission trip. You guys, because of your support, we were able to do $1,000 towards her Thailand trip that's coming up. And then we tried to do another $1,000, then she didn't need it. So we brought it back, and we split it in half to two young people that went on the Africa trip that were having problems raising funds. And so I figured that two young people that are on fire for the Lord is a better trade than an old pastor who can barely walk. So they were happy to be able to do that, and they're going to be sharing with you in about a month about their trip. So that was there as well. But through all of this, I did want to share this with you. What I look for, again, just like what I was talking about the journal, I look for the trends. I look for what Jesus is saying over and over again through the scripture and through circumstances and through the church to be able to see what is coming out of this time. And there's four things that continue to trend that I want to share with you. No particular order, okay? The truth of God, having that solid foundation of knowing the Word of God, living the Word of God, being into the Word of God. The unexpected, the storms that come into our life, the things that we don't see coming, that's getting ready to happen, like Mike getting ready to preach for a second time and has a car accident. That's unexpected, something God leads them through, and God did lead them through, and he did exceptionally well as in his witness through that. Thank you, Mike. So the unexpected kept coming up. Our faith and the difference our faith makes in the middle of the unexpected came up over and over again. And then through that faith, what is our expectation of what God's going to do in our lives? Is he going to really come through on those promises? Is he really going to work in our lives if we're in step with him? Those four things continue to come up over and over and over again to the point that you just could not ignore it. You got that? That's very good. But there is another side to things. As I told you before I left, it was not just about me. It was about you guys. And that God does things through the sabbatical for the church family by getting the pastor out of the way. So just out of curiosity, I mean, I know what I see. I've not looked at a lot. I purposefully have not looked at anything dealing with attendance while I was gone until after this sermon. I have not looked at anything when it came to giving until after this sermon. And I always say that because we have an elders meeting, so I can't really escape it afterwards. But I wanted to be able to speak really bluntly about vision more than those details, on whether or not things went that well. But while I was gone, what did you notice that God was doing that was good? Did anybody have any thoughts, or do you just want me to talk about it? Go. Tim. Okay. Okay. Awesome. Okay, so for those at home, if they couldn't hear Tammy Taylor's talking, we continued as a community. And my absence continued to adjust within that. What else? Monica?
I personally went through a bit of a faith crisis while you're gone, nothing as that. And what I experienced through these to notice is that I still have some people to pray for me, support me, talk to me, keep me in line with all those things.
Okay, so again, if you didn't hear, Monica says she's spiritually jacked up, and she was glad to be able to have people in her life to pray for her and care about her. What else? Yeah, Heather.
I thought the speakers, like I've been to other churches where the speakers that fill in the interim are like placeholders or whatever, and I didn't feel like any of them were. Like I felt like it was something that God used in every single one of them. It was really powerful, so I loved
that. Awesome. So Heather talking about the different speakers and what they brought to the table, was it just placeholders? Yeah, Katie.
I think there were a lot of moments where people became aware of the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Where the things that people are just, it's just always done, or it's just always there, and all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, it kind of wakes people up to the potential that people do have to be able to really dig in, and just realizing there was more of a need, and so I'm trying to work with a lot of people.
Gotcha.
There was no other option.
Okay, so people step into the different gaps and the things that are just kind of assumed voices, what you don't know goes on behind the scenes. Anything else? I mean, there's multiple things I was looking forward to. I mean, it does let the leaders lead in a unique way that they don't have when I'm here. It does let people move into roles in areas that, because I naturally do them, they don't necessarily get to do. Like, I'll use Brent as an example. Brent's basically our treasurer, and there's different things that he added to his responsibilities that I do throughout the week that have been in the way. And now Pope Brent's like, hey, I'm like, hey, how'd it go? And Brent's like, oh, no, really good. I said, good, keep that stuff. so I've been added to his role. So there's a lot of things within that. But I do want to talk about, like, the Heather's ballpark of things. About the speakers. And all I have to say, again, I learned from my first sabbatical, God does not need Tom Hypes, God uses Tom Hypes. And so I'm glad for those opportunities. But one of the unique perspectives I had was being able to go through the sermons almost back to back to back to back to back and see what kind of things stand out. And through that, looking at trends. Okay? So I want to walk through that with you a little bit. I hope you caught it. But it is hard to do when you do a week in between each one. I hope you were here for it. I hope that if you missed it or couldn't be here, that you at least got the teaching online. Because if you didn't, you really missed what I'm about to show to you that God does all the time if you're like a once a month or every couple months type person. So let me just run through them with you and made little slides, and you guys can use them later if you want to. But I just kind of want to remind you about what's been going on message-wise. And keep in mind this, I do not tell people what to preach on when I'm gone. I pick people that I trust and I know and tell them follow the Holy Spirit. So in no way, shape, or form is any of this, everybody sitting down in a meeting and say, okay, what is our goal by the end? This is the Holy Spirit talking to individuals, many of those individuals who don't know each other, and work on it together. So with all that in mind, we start out with Mike Russell and friends, I should say, with his podcast version. And Mike was really digging into, again, I think it was 2 Peter or 1 Peter? Do you guys remember 2 Peter? Okay, 1 Peter. But talking really about your identity in Christ. Who are you in Christ? You know, you hear that phrase, live your best life now. I hate that phrase. I want to live my best life in Christ. And so it really kind of dug into that aspect of knowing who I am in Christ as someone who's accepted him as a leader and forgiver of my life by acknowledging with my mouth he's the Son of God and believe in my heart that he died and rose again and give my life to him. Then from there we had Hannah Howe came in with her husband, and he led worship while Hannah spoke. And she really dug into just the consistency of the Holy Spirit in our lives within that identity. We have to be living in that fresh anointing, that fresh oil on a consistent basis, and how to plug into the Holy Spirit. From there, we had our Mental Health Sunday with Jennifer Jeanette. Jennifer came in and shared her testimony, which really I consider that brave of her. Jennifer has not been in church a lot because of some church hurt. And the first time she came to speak to you guys, she actually decided at the last minute not to, not because she was scared, but she just wanted to take it in. So for her to be so vulnerable, I was really, really impressed by that. And she was talking about her own mental health standpoint and just the support of community in her life and how we need to support each other, kind of like what Tammy was talking about, like Monica was talking about. Speaking of Monica, bad company ruins good morals. That's not a statement about Monica. That's what she had in her sermon. But she was talking about, again, good community equals good character and how important that is to be able to have that investment into our lives. By the way, give it up for Monica. She's the most codependent person here in the church, and she did not text me or call me once. Once. Good job, girl. She literally took my phone number out of her phone because she knew her own way. So good job, Monty. Week after that, we have my buddy Debbie Monroe here. I love Debbie. And Debbie talked to you guys about asking for more than what you ask for from God, and shared her story about her son's medical situation. Do you remember that? That sometimes we ask God for just like what's here, and he's got all this. and going, thinking bigger from a God standpoint and calling out God from that standpoint. A week after that, it was care team. It was supposed to be Angie. I don't know all the details on that yet. She did speak that day, and she did a really good job. She also doesn't like doing sermons, so I don't know exactly how that got twisted around, but she's crafty. It might be medical stuff. I don't know. So I'm not going to look like a joke later by finding out the real reasons, but she did a good job, so I won't give her any kind of crap on that. But again, talking about community support and testimonies of community support and how it works that we're supposed to be as brothers and sisters in Christ. Speaking of not wanting to do sermons so they get to the extreme, Mike Russell was supposed to be next, but then he got in that car wreck because he didn't want to do a sermon. Melissa Scoville jumped in his place, and she shared incredibly well. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later. But she did a great job of sharing her testimony from her heart and what church looks like and what church should be. But again, taking us back into that understanding about God preparing us and about community. My mentor, Bobby Kahn, came and spoke. I love this parade. Every anxious thought is an invitation to trust God more completely. But he's talking about anxiety. He's talking about peace, talking about that consistency in Christ and trusting in his promises. Katie Williams jumped up there, and she's talking about missions. God wants all to know him, talking about that extreme understanding of his mission and his calling. My daughter was up there next. Emily talked about God's unexpected direction in our lives and shared her testimony about adoption and what God has been doing through her. She hates that picture, by the way. Then Viv, that same day, shared with us about pouring into Christian community as well and the importance of having that Christian community, what that looks like. And then last week, you guys enjoyed Nolan from Leaping Ministries and also with the foster care system here in town. And he talked about our need for God and the desert as we move towards the promised land. Now, here's the trend I saw there. The truth of God. The importance of the truth of God. How God wants the whole world to know his foundation, his stability, his truth, and his love. We also saw that there's the unexpected, as we talked about different struggles that were going on within this, whether that be the mental health issues or whether that be things like foster care or whether that be when you went through a tough situation where Leaping helps with clothes and the ministry that they do there, or whether we all go through different struggles, different challenges. How our faith makes a difference was just a resounding call through all of the season that you had, and the expectation of God when we expect that God is going to be God and hold his promises, the difference that he makes. I hope you didn't miss it. I hope you didn't take it as a summer break. I hope you didn't take, well, the pastor's not there, this is a good week to go do something else. God does things like this consistently, and you'll miss it if you're not in. And some of you guys need to go back and look at some of those sermons by the topic, if nothing else, by the topic of what you're dealing with, maybe the anxiety or whatever the case may be. So my hope is that you were here. My hope is that you saw it. My hope is I look at attendance and see that it was deeply dove into and changing people's lives. If not, please lean back into it because God is doing good stuff. In the midst of this, again, if you've been around, you know that I believe in dreams, interpretation of dreams. I believe some dreams are just, you know, a bad burrito moment. Some dreams mean something. You have to use discernment. But there was a continuation, and I've got my journal here, some dreams journaled out, that continue into the area of the storms and the challenges, going back into the unexpected, which brought up, and I sent out this week through the prayer chain and also on Facebook page, an encouragement to go back and watch a particular sermon from a year ago on storms and storm expectations. There's a reason for that. I hope you did that as well. If not, I hope you do it soon. But that continues to be a theme that continues to play out. And I don't think it's just not as much like, hey, we as a church are going to go through a tough time, which still hasn't happened in a year. We've been really blessed. But there's been an increase of understanding when it comes to we as individuals going through storms and the challenges and the hurt and the pain and the bewilderment and the anxiety and the fear that happens that some of you guys are carrying right now. And if some of you are in a season where you don't have to deal with that right now, enjoy it because the season will come again. And I think that God is calling us to it, and one of the reasons why we continue to come back to this trend. So within that, there started being this this challenge I had, I'll be honest, when I've had the one of the dreams, I think it was the one on June 22nd, 21st, I'll be honest, my first response to that is, oh, I don't want to go through a storm. You know, I just, I really like it when it's going well. I really don't like you bringing up storms, God, when I'm supposed to be taking a joint time with my family right now, you know, type stuff. But one of the things, as I was looking at the trend, so I read, or not read, when I listened to Debbie's sermon, she was referencing Paul and Silas being in jail. Do you remember this? If nothing else, if you remember the testimony, where they're in jail, everything's falling apart, the lock and key. If you think of any personal struggle you have, this one at least matches it, if not overdoes it, not that it's a contest. And they're worshiping, and there's this massive earthquake, and it releases all of them. And the jailer realizes this happened, so he's going to kill himself because he lost all the prisoners. And they're like, no, hey, we're still here. You know, it's about God's freedom. It's not about us escaping, or whatever the case may be. And so within that, Paul and Silas are freed. The jailer and his entire family come to know Jesus. And I don't even know the ripple effects over time of what happened with those prisoners and the change it made in their life. And as she's sharing with this story, again, the trends that God uses, I realized that moment, not all storms are destructive, but that earthquake came to bring freedom. The truth about our God, going through the unexpected, having our faith, trusting in him, and having an expectation that God will be God, continues to come up over and over again. Here's some other Bible verses for you now. I'm going to apologize up front. I've not used ProPresenter for 10 weeks. And I think I did pretty good, just to be honest, Michael. I think I did pretty good, unless you came in and fixed everything for me. For being gone for so long. But I did notice last night some of these voices go off the screen, so good luck. Write them down, look them up yourselves, don't be so lazy. John 14:21 comes up. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, that's a two-parter, whoever knows my word and keeps my word, he is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Truth of God, going through the unexpected, the promise that God has, and being able to move forward in that in faith. Another voice that came up several times over within these trends is 2 Timothy 2:1-2. So far it's still on the screen. That's awesome. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is that knowledge, right? And that is that foundation. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others as well. Continues to go back into that trend, the unexpected, to teach that, to have that foundation. Philippians 4:6-7 was one of the voices. Do not be anxious about anything, going back to Bob's teaching that he had with us. Don't be anxious about anything. Wish it was that easy. But in everything, be by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Over again. Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you trust that during the unexpected? That does that drive your faith in God? And then Matthew 7:25 will give you this. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been formed on the rock. Over and over again. I'll tell you what, I'll give you one more, but get your Bibles out and turn to it. We're going to go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 came up. It was not a surprise. We went through Psalm 23 pretty in depth not too long ago with a book study. Neil, what was the name of that book? Preparing a seat at the table. What? Yeah, don't let the enemy have a seat at your table. So you guys have gone pretty in depth with it. Also some sermons. But also, this was the key verse, or key chapter for my first sabbatical a decade ago. Came back up again, and I want to show you something I think is pretty cool within this when it comes to the trends. Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you've been around for long at all, you know I can talk about this for 10 weeks. But just for today, for simplicity's sake, that is the truth of our God. He's my personal shepherd. He chose me, I chose him. He is the one that leads me. Verse 4, the unexpected. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, that's the discipline and the guidance, they comfort me. No, even when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is that coming together of our faith and with the expectation of who God is and the truth that he brings into the mix. Do you see it at all? It's a constant, constant trend. One more scripture, and I think this is where God's leading us for our next season. We're still in Rethink. Rethink, if you've been around the first half of the year, is kind of moving behind the scenes. There's a lot of new things that you'll see over time from Rethink. There's a lot of different things we're working on. Maybe we'll come into Sundays a little bit, but it's kind of moving to the back of things. But I want to show you the one verse I think encapsulates all the season that we're going into for us as individuals as well as the church. A lot of times I hit both of those, but I really think God's trying to speak to us as individuals on the tough seasons that we're going through and that we will go through. In Luke 17, there's a section where Jesus is telling the disciples to be pure, basically, to be able to follow the truth of God. And when you realize what God calls us to versus what we are, it usually causes a little bit of a crisis of faith. And this is their response. Increase our faith. Holy cow, we can't do that. Increase our faith. I truly believe that God is calling us into a season to increase our faith, to have more faith in our lives as we go through these tough, tough seasons together. And that's going to be my invitation to you for our next season, is what does that look like within your life? Where you have that cry, where you step out up to it when God's calling you into some new areas, or maybe you need to adjust a little bit, or maybe you need to submit, or maybe you need to stand up. Within our response time, I told you I'd come back to Melissa's message, and all the messages were just phenomenal, such a blessing to go through from at least my standpoint. Melissa's was the one that was a little overwhelming to me because it reminded me of what we're doing here and why I do what I do, what the purpose of that calling is. So thank you, Melissa. And within that study, she was talking about another testimony from the scripture. She was talking about Samuel. You remember this? And when Samuel was a young man, he's in the temple and he hears Eli cry out his name. So he comes to Eli and he says, here I am. And Eli goes, for what? And he said, well, you called me. He goes, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he goes back to bed and he hears the voice again, so he goes back to Eli. Here I am. Eli says, you are a little touched. I don't know what you're talking about. You need to go back to bed. I am not calling your name. So after a few times that this happens, Eli finally catches on and realizes it's God that's calling Samuel, not him. And so when Samuel comes again and says, here I am, Eli says, listen, when you hear the voice again, it's God. Respond to God. Don't keep coming in and waking me up. God's got something for you. And so he does, and when God calls his name, he says, here I am. At about that same time, just a few days before that, in my studies, I had just done a study on here I am. It appears 24 times in the scripture from some different attributes. Samuel is one that nails 3 or 4 of those. But it always seems to come up, at least the majority of the times, when God's calling us to something new. When God's calling us deeper, when God's calling us to something, maybe even that's a little bit impossible without him. We see when Abraham is called to sacrifice his son. I can't imagine a worse calling in my life. And God calls him, and Abraham's response is, "Here I am." And then when he takes his son, and his son's talking about, you know, where's the sacrifice, and how do you make that to the kid? And he's talking to it. Abraham says, "Here I am." He's still in on this test. When he gets ready to sacrifice his son, and the angel says, no, wait. This was just to see if you would take and kill, still have the provider over the thing he provided to you, and you would trust his promise that somehow he's going to make this right. So when he called him and said, "Abraham," Abraham said, "Here I am." When God called to Isaac, to Jacob, "Here I am," and the angel called. Over and over again, you see it when God calls, "Here I am." It's the best possible response you can have. And Ananias was called in Acts to go take and lay hands on Saul, the murderer of Christians. Ananias, "Here I am." Over and over and over again. I think the best ones, for me, one of my favorites is Isaiah 6:8, when God is calling for the prophet. He says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am. Here I am. Send me." This season, I believe, for many of you, if not all, will be God calling you by name, and you decide if you're going to respond or not. It is my hope, it is my prayer, "Here I am. Here I am. Take me this next step. Take me this next level. Take me to the next place. Help me to adjust." That's the invitation as we move into the next God knows how long. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've invested into myself the last 10 weeks, my family the last 10 weeks, and our church family for the last 10 weeks. I thank you for incredible people that from behind the scenes to guest speaking to whatever the case may be, that they said, "Here I am." Many of them were nervous at different times. Many of them didn't know quite what to say, what not to say. Many were thrown in last second. "Here I am." What a great testimony and awesome way of seeing what you're calling us to next. Father, many of us sitting here right now are struggling, are hurting, finances are out of whack, we feel alone. Some of us have got to the point that we almost feel more comfortable being alone. We have made comfortable, safe boxes of what we would do or not do. We have experienced so much that our tradition and our heritage and culture of growing up in the church has taught us, but we have never dug in deeper to see what your Holy Spirit would say to us one-on-one through the Word of God. So much so, Father, that it almost, in some of these areas, feels like the desert. And we've gotten comfortable in the desert. And Satan wants us to stay there in that comfort zone. Some of us have not reached out past our comfortable group and friends. Some of us have not reached out in faith into Christian community, into financial faithfulness, into generosity to people that are struggling, or to serve within our gifts, and sometimes, Father, to know that you'll call us to serve outside of our gifts for a season, for a reason, according to your will. Some of us have become very, very passive in a life of beauty, of promises, of mission, and of faith. So, Father, we do commit this time to follow you and what you're doing. To listen to your Spirit in our hearts through your word and through others, Father, as we lean into good community and good company. And we are expectant of you doing great and mighty things, maybe not by our guidelines and what we want, but by your will for your kingdom, and we get to be a part of that. So, Father, if there's anyone here that has never accepted you as leader and forgiven their life, I do pray that they take this time now just to talk to you and say, I need you. I give you this life. Just in this moment. No special words, no magic formula to it, but just, I give you my life. And then for those of us, Father, who have given our lives to you, help us to give you our lives. And to live a life in the best of our abilities and our most meager of attempts that's worthy of the calling and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You are a good God. Help us to live like we know that. Guys, in experiencing God, and I'm going to talk to you more about that next week, one of the things that came up, and I took a screenshot and sent it on Facebook, I hope you saw it, that how we live speaks what we actually believe about God. So if he's calling your name this morning, please, here I am. You're not doing it by yourself. God is God. Christ saved you. The Holy Spirit is speaking through you. You need to be living with that oil in your life, like Hannah shared with us, on a consistent basis with that anointing. You have Christian community around you if you choose it and you invest into it, and you have a life and a calling of purpose and of promise through Jesus Christ. Here I am. Will you just take a few moments to talk to him about that? Let me just get out of the way once again. Take a few moments with your God.